Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Motherload Podcast. We are your alternative parenting show. I'm Constance Zimmer.
And I'm Missy Pyle.
Listen, we all know parenting is fucking messy. Everything you see is a lie. We all know it.
And we want to rip the Band-Aid off of being a parent. Okay, everyone, you're going to want to listen to this episode because we are talking to all of you out there. Are your kids or you glued to your iPad, your iPhone, or whatever screen is in front of you?
Sure am.
Because today, we are here to pump you up. We are going to talk to Dr. Michael Rich, who has nothing to do with that, but he is a self-proclaimed mediatrician, all right?
First of his generation. First of his kind.
First, there's a lot of firsts on this podcast today, all right? He's also a child health expert.
He's going to share with us how to create a healthy media environment for our children and ourselves, how to be more mindful parents. We're going to tackle social media, screen time, and so much more. Everybody get excited
and get pumped up.
Hi.
Hey.
This is Constance.
And this is Missy. We're pointing at each other, but we're on a podcast.
I'm Constance. I'm Chilman.
So you can't tell that we're pointing at each other.
I'm sorry. I can't. It just.
Don't do the German. So today.
Today we're going to talk about.
Screens.
Screen time. Put that iPad in front of your kids so you can have some me time.
Wow. Right? Wow. Did you just think that up?
Listen, I used to have a very successful musical improv
podcast?
Comedy podcast.
Oh my God.
Potty. I have another potty podcast, but I already did that with you.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. A potty cast.
So occasionally I like to break out in song.
That's okay. I like it and I appreciate it and I will do it as well with you one day soon.
Thank you.
If we get a million subscribers, I'll start singing.
A million? Let's do it when we get like 7,000.
Aim high.
I want you to start quicker.
Is that what it's called? Subscribers? Do you get subscribers to a podcast?
Yeah.
What do I know? Anyway, so screen time. So this is a very touchy topic, I feel like. It's a lot.
Well, it's just new. We didn't grow up with screens. You didn't even, like your kid, we just got an iPhone.
Right. The iPhone came out in 2007, but was actually in, I think, the majority of people's hands in 2008, which is when...
I thought I had one in 2006.
No.
2006?
No. Everything is sexy with you.
Thank you.
Podcasts.
You know, as I get older, I really only get horny when I'm ovulating. And that's like rare these days.
Yeah.
So I'm ovulating and things are going to be more about 2006.
All right.
You're welcome.
What I was saying, yeah, is I feel like I was given a gift that I didn't even know was a gift, which is that the iPhone was brand new. So we were
The smartphone in general.
Sorry.
Not we get it, Apple. You own everything. You own the world.
But
it wasn't you, Constance.
I think that I still would have performed in the same way. Well, I would like to believe that I would have performed in the same way with my parenting because I was very specific about no plastic toys. All my toys were wooden. No television.
Yes, we don't have the plastic toys.
No, I'm just saying.
No, I get it.
You know what I mean? I was super specific about 0 to 3 because everybody said 0 to 5, formative years, 0 to 5, formative years. Everything happens in 0 to 5.
Who are those people?
I have all those other people that I'm probably not even friends with.
Those are people that told you how to live your life.
That's right. But look, I'm not somebody that was raised necessarily on television either. I was given very limited TV time as a kid growing up. So I didn't know any different.
Well, listen, I'm completely opposite. I was the fifth kid. My parents went through a divorce and I was in front of the TV for hours when I was a kid, and now it is never on. I have no interest in the television, probably because it gave me some form of ADD. I don't know.
But I also think for me, it was also very important. Like, she didn't watch any television. You know, I don't think the stuff that I would let her even watch on a TV screen, She never saw anything on a smartphone or a tablet until she was, I want to say, four.
Because people weren't really doing that either. But now it's like, you know, you got FaceTime with, you know, your partner who might be out of town.
That's
or
fine.
Your grandparent.
Listen, don't get me wrong. There
or you
are,
make a video and they're like, I want to see it.
No, but there are pros to screens. Obviously, yeah. Now you can communicate when you're out of town. And that I have no problem with. I have the problem with the swiping, the technology that is not innately interacting with another person.
Of course.
Right? And I think that if you do that too soon, too much too soon, you get stuck in a very vicious, vicious dark hole of that you can't go back. I just feel like I want to say up front that people are going to get mad at me because I'm super aggressive on this topic. And I do feel like the reason why I'm aggressive is because I've seen the difference between my kid and how she plays and how she interacts with me as a parent and people versus some of my other friends who I love dearly, who I'm not saying are bad parents at all, but I'm saying did things differently. I'm noticing a difference in their kids and how their kids don't interact and don't communicate, et cetera. Now, my kid's 11, so I'm a little bit further along than you are, and the awareness becomes a lot more apparent later in life.
I mean, I'm kind of on the same page with you on this. My child has seen screens. I mean, she definitely saw things before three. It was very limited, but she did. And what's really interesting too is that there's almost a little bit of like, oh, your kids don't watch movies, or like, oh, let's put them down in front of movies. Like, oh, we don't do that. Or like, oh, here, have your kid watch this before she gets this toy. And it's like, oh, actually, we don't watch TV. We watch Elmo Potty Time, and that's a special treat. But I just want to say, like, I think that we shouldn't shame anybody for where they are. I mean, like, we're new and uncharted territory. Wherever you are is where you are. Just be aware of what you're doing and make the decision
how it can affect
how you want to parent and get yourself informed. I love what you said about I don't think children should see any screen before three. It's unrealistic. Ultimately, you go to any restaurant, there's a TV on. I'm assuming TVs
there's a
are
difference,
screens.
But no, because there's a difference between screen time watching a program, a kid's program, versus smartphones and tablets and swiping. That's where we have to differentiate between when we talk about screen time, because there are certain television programs geared towards children under the age of three that are actually very good for them. There was Mozart. There was a Mozart CD that I remember. Everything was black and white, and everything was patterns and geometric patterns, and it was set to music, to classical music. And it was specifically for that time when their brain is developing, being able to hear music, see things moving around, but it wasn't like aggressive characters on a television show. There's just certain years that you should integrate into your, it's not every day. It's now screen time, watching TV programs, kids programs geared for 1 to 2, 2 to 3. That's different because that's also you're a part of that. You can be a part of that. And that doesn't need to be more than 30 minutes.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, look, for some people, it's more realistic than others. And, you know, a lot of times people will show you, like today, someone literally showed my daughter the Manamana song, which, you know, she's over three and I love that. I actually love
right.
that. But it's just somebody just showed her, you know, you're right. going to be, no matter what your parenting style are, you're going to find yourself in a situation where someone's going to throw in front of your kid's face.
Of course.
And you have to kind of know, like, is this something where I need to be like, oh, don't put that in your kid's face.
No, but, because what you have to remember is that's a friend. That's not a parent. That's not her parent, right? I mean,
right.
I still to this day, and my daughter's 11, we talk all the time about, she says, well, but her mom lets her watch TV when they eat dinner. And I said, that's great. That's their family lifestyle. That is not ours. We do not.
That is the wrong way.
No, I never say. No, but I mean, I never say that. You know, I was raised that every dinner you sat down, you talked about your day. There was nothing, no television on. You talked about what happened at school. And that was how I grew up. I don't know any different.
We're going to make a phone call right now.
Oh, we are.
We have another expert. This is very exciting.
I mean, the fact that he has a title that he is now called a mediatrician should show you we have an issue with media in today's
and
world.
That we're still a little lighthearted about it.
Yes, I'm just saying.
A mediatrician.
I don't even.
You gotta eat your fruits and vegetables of pixels.
I just want to say, too, before we get on the call, that one of my favorite pros about kids and technology is it says provides basis for strong future. Tech jobs are the future of the workforce. High demand. Instills entrepreneurial goals.
I don't need in the future.
I'm just saying.
My daughter, Zoe, just
there's
got
not
a, job.
A lot of pros.
I'm Zoe just got a job at Google.
But I'm just, this is my point. There's not a lot of pros.
Should we get on the phone?
Yeah, let's do it.
Constance, tell me about Talkspace.
Well, Talkspace is pretty awesome because heading back to school comes with a lot of tough emotions. That's for right. kids. 1 in 5 college students struggle with their mental health.
And the average college campus has like 1 mental health counselor for every 1,700 students seeking support.
Right. So what's so cool about Talkspace is they believe that no student should have to wait to get the support they need. Hallelujah.
Right. And with the Talkspace student plan, students can connect with their therapist in less than 24 hours.
And there is like a selection of recommended therapists to get started right away. You don't have to wait. And if your first therapist isn't right, you can always switch therapists at no extra cost.
Yeah. And you don't have to schedule an appointment. There's always a therapist in reach, even between classes, late at night study sessions before a big exam.
The Talkspace student plan pairs your student with a licensed therapist trained to address the challenges that they face. So to get started for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, that's very important.
Very important.
Go to Talkspace.com/student.
Make sure to use the code MOTHERLOAD to get $65 off.
And that's promo code MOTHERLOAD at Talkspace.com/student.
Talkspace.
All right, we're going to talk about Brooklinen again because I will tell you the name is confusing. I want to call them Brooklyn, but they're Brooklinen because why, Missy?
Because they're from Brooklyn?
No, because they're sheets. Brooklinen.
Oh my
they're
God.
They're linen, they're sheets.
Do you think they lived by a brook?
Oh my God.
And they put their linens, they clean them in the brook?
No, but you know what they do?
They make great sheets. And I guess they make towels too. I can't wait to go buy some. But they have 35,000 5-star reviews, best online bedding category, good housekeeping, mix them and match.
And also getting them online cuts out the cost price that you pay for buying it in the store.
That's right. We're cutting out the middleman. Ha, ha, ha.
We are cutting it out. And they have 35,000 5-star reviews.
That's
which
right.
If you care about reviews, which me and Missy do, that uh-huh. number is going to mean something to
half
you.
A million happy sleepers and counting.
So seriously, though, my sheets are the most comfortable sheets I've ever slept
mine
on.
Mine are. Mine are more comfortable than
no,
yours.
No, mine are more comfortable for you. But brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners.
You get 10% off and free shipping when you use promo code MOTHERLOAD at brooklinen.com.
And also, they are so confident that you're going to love their product. They're all their sheets, comforters, towels. They come with a lifetime warranty.
That's not even possible. Yeah. And these sheets don't, I mean, they don't like just look great. They feel great and they look great.
Yeah, but the only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use the promo code MOTHERLOAD at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code MOTHERLOAD.
We are going to get on the phone now. Should he pick up with Michael Rich? He's an MD, MPH. I don't know what that means. He's fast or slow. He's the mediatrician, professional of pediatrics at Harvard.
Oh, well, congratulations, Mr. Rich.
As the director of video intervention prevention at Boston Children's Hospital.
A mediatrician.
I'm looking for a mediatrician.
What accent is that?
It's yours, German.
Hello.
Hello, is this Michael?
This is, Michael, indeed.
Is this the mediatrician?
The very one and only.
Hi, this is Constance.
I'm Missy.
And hi.
This is the Motherload.
This is the Motherload. We have a podcast about parenting.
Two actresses with one child each over the age of 40. No offense.
Okay, so you are the one and only mediatrician.
As far as I know.
Oh, as far as you know, are you not on the World Wide Web?
I am indeed. I guess that makes me real then, doesn't it?
You have to be if you've got media
And have you not researched if there are other mediatricians?
Oh, yeah. No, I have. It's actually a trademarked term.
That's amazing. Can you please elaborate on how and why you felt it was important to create this new mediatrician type title when you are already a
professor of pediatrics?
Because before I was a professor of pediatrics, I was actually a screenwriter and filmmaker. I am a refugee from the film industry. And
take us with you, but when we're done.
Okay, one step at a time. I actually had the honor and privilege of apprenticing to Akira Kurosawa, the guy that made Seven Samurai and Rashomon, and most recently, you know, more recently, Ron, and was his assistant director for 2 years. But when I came back to La La Land, got very frustrated with the possibilities and had an early midlife crisis and went to medical school. And in the process, also became a parent. And when I was in my pediatric residency training was really when kids were starting to have real issues around television and obesity, around video games and aggression. And there was this, you know, sort of cultural argument going on about, you know, is it right or wrong? Is it good or bad? Very values-based to watch TV, to play video games. And I, first of all, realized from having been in the industry that people are not trying to hurt children, but they just didn't know what the short and long-term effects necessarily of what was being produced for screens. And so I decided to bring a public health approach to it, not a good and bad, right and wrong thing, but how are we changed by the media we use and how we use them? And how can we use that information to raise children in ways that allow them to be healthy and strong and kind and good citizens? And not to point fingers or say this is wrong or this is right, but to really understand it the way we understand nutrition or injury prevention. So I was really bringing my knowledge and experience in those two worlds together. You know, let's face facts. We make media to change us. We make media so we can laugh together, so we can cry together, so we can better understand things, so we can tell stories to each other that make sense out of life. And so it's sort of ridiculous to assume that we're not going to be changed. So let's understand how we are changed, not only by the media we use, but how we use them. And actually, this was all started before the internet became, you know, widely used in society, before smartphones were in everybody's hands. And so we really are trying to bring good science to bear on understanding how we have been changed by this rapidly evolving technological environment in which we are trying to raise children.
Can I just jump to something that we were discussing before we got on the phone with you, which was all the research that I have done. I have an 11-year-old, and the iPhone came out in 2007, but really was in everyone's hands by 2008, as far as no glitches, and everybody was starting to try and work with it and understand it. So I feel like right. I was given the gift of not having it at the ready from the second my kid came out of the womb. But I do believe that I have now done a lot of research since then, because I was trying to figure out how to navigate it in the world that we have to use it for our jobs and our professions, and we get our emails on our phones, and it's not just all about social media when we're on our phones. We're actually using it for work. And I right. found the most helpful information, and I really just, I would love to have your stamp of approval, which is, would you agree that from 0 to 3 years old, we should across the board say that kids should have no access to touch screens, smartphones, tablets? And I'm not talking about screen time like with kids' programs on television, but I'm talking about actual touch screens and smartphones. Should they have access to that before they are 3 years old?
I think that it's important to think about what kind of access and, more importantly, what they're doing with it. I would say that one exception I would put out there is, how about Skyping with grandma? How about that kind of interaction? I would say that they shouldn't have unsupervised access to interactive media, but they shouldn't have unsupervised access to receptive media like television either. I think that what we need to teach children from the very beginning is that these are tools, very powerful tools that can do great things in positive ways, but also can cause great harm if used mindlessly or, you know, without direction.
So, okay, that makes sense.
That's a good way of saying that, too.
So what do you do? Like, what do you actually do? So
you do what every other parent did before.
I'm not talking to you.
Phones existed.
I'm not talking to you.
You play with your child.
I'm asking him what he does, Constance. I'm talking to you, Michael. So what do you do? Do families come to you? I mean, do you, like, what is your role in this? Like, how do you go about spreading your gospel?
Well, we do a number of things. We have a research effort that is actually following 3,000 kids in Alberta, Canada, of all ages, much the way the Framingham Heart Study followed the community of Framingham to look at exactly how they're not only using but being exposed ambiently to screens in their lives and following them year after year for a whole variety of health, psychological and social outcomes. We translate that research. As the mediatrician, I have an online advice column for parenting digital natives called Ask the Mediatrician, where I get everything from at what age should I give my kid a smartphone to how do I get my 10-year-old son to quit singing Viva Viagra in the supermarket. I think this is all with the understanding that we're dealing with three moving targets, the first being the developing infant to child to adolescent to adult, the second being this rapidly evolving technological environment in which that development is occurring, recognizing, of course, that their parents did not grow up in that same environment, and the third thing is the transformation in all of our behavior, parents as well as children, because of these devices. And, you know, when I ask, for example, I ask my patients when their parents aren't in the room, what can your parents do better? And at least two-thirds of the time, the first thing out of their mouths is pay more attention to me, because their parents are staring at their smartphones or their tablets or their laptops. And what's really phenomenal is that with all this essentially infinite connectivity, we have become progressively less connected with each other in deep and meaningful ways. And so how do we integrate these powerful tools in our lives without letting them come between us?
How do we do that?
Well, you have to have time for technology, right? It's like there's time that you are allowed to use technology, and then there's time when it shouldn't be around. Like it shouldn't be in your bedroom, right? Like you limit it.
Absolutely. But it's not so much about time as about use. In other words, it's very hard to have a sort of screen time limit in a day and age when kids are getting their homework online, they're being handed Chromebooks or iPads at school, they are creating, you know, virtual study groups online, et cetera. So it's really about what and when to use it. And the place where time comes in really is understanding when it is displacing something that is more valuable in terms of cognitive development, in terms of, you know, social emotional development. And the problem with screens is that they have become the default activity in many cases. Yeah. And so the fourth sort of arm of what we do at the Center on Media and Child Health is we now actually have a dedicated clinic for kids who are struggling with interactive media and internet disorders. So kids who have problems with gaming, with social media, with pornography, and with what we're calling information or video binging, these endless short form videos.
What age and is that what, you're catering to?
What age?
Yeah.
We've had kids as young as 8. And we've had adults essentially, you know, 25, 26 year old, because we're based at a children's hospital. But I think that their kids even younger than those at eight, because what we're seeing is only those kids who are so far down the rabbit hole that they're not sleeping, they're not going to school, they're really dropping out of life and are in a situation with the gaming or the social media where they look for all the world like someone who's having a psychotic break in some cases.
Can you reset those kids?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Kids are infinitely resilient and malleable. If you give them a way to move out of these behaviors on their own, but they need to come to the awareness of how they are being impaired and how disabled they are by something that they think of as what everybody else does.
How do you get them to that awareness?
Well, it's a process. It's kind of like getting someone to quit smoking or whatever, that you know, they are almost always dragged in here against their will. Right. They don't particularly want to be here because they think of it as, I'm here to punish them for bad behavior. Oftentimes they will say to me, oh, I can quit gaming anytime. And so I'll say, okay, what we're going to do is you're going to limit it to 2 hours a day. And they say, oh, no problem at all. I can limit it to 2 hours a day. And I want you to come back in 2 weeks and we'll see how it went. And usually at the 2 weeks, they will report, well, I was really good for a day or two, and then I slid back into my old behaviors. And that's when they have what I call the come to Jesus moment, where they are face to face with the reality that they do not have the ability to self-regulate. They do not have the ability to sort of control their use. And then we talk about, okay, after one of these 6 or 8 or 10 or 16 hour gaming sessions, what do you have to show for it? And they start to realize that they are missing out on, you know, I mean, many times they've dropped out of school. They're almost always sleep deprived. They've abandoned relationships with friends. They have very difficult relationships within their family. And so they need to find their own way out of the dark place by realizing what they have given up without really thinking about it. It's really just putting it into perspective and what I call mindful use of media.
The Motherlode is brought to you by Skillshare. What's that?
Skillshare? You really don't know what that is?
I'm asking you to tell the people.
It's an online learning community with thousands of amazing classes covering dozens of creative and entrepreneurial skills.
Whoa, you can take classes in everything from photography, creative writing, design, productivity, even more.
Yeah, you can even learn about lifestyle skills.
I mean, and if you're a mom and you're busy and you're at home, maybe you want to take some classes. That's all I'm saying.
I'm telling you.
Or dad.
You could school yourself from home with Skillshare. It's so easy because millions of students are already learning on Skillshare today. With a special offer just for our listeners, you get 2 months of Skillshare for free.
What? That's right. Skillshare is offering the Motherlode listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free.
Okay, but you have to sign up. So go to Skillshare.com/Motherlode. Again,
Skillshare.com/Motherlode.
To start your 2 months now.
Skillshare.com/Motherlode. And again, you can take classes in like animation, fine art, music, film and video, marketing. I mean, anything you want.
And also, you guys, we never stop learning. So here is an easy way for you to keep learning. You're welcome.
What do you do with your hair, Constance?
What do I do with my hair down there, you ask?
Everywhere.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to introduce you to Flamingo because they make body care for us. They have a great razor, shave gel, body lotion, the works.
And they were started by women, a group of women at Harry's, a men's shaving brand, who realized they were only using men's razors because there wasn't an option that felt right for them.
Think about it. You probably spend more than $16 on razors and blades already. With the Flamingo shave set, you can upgrade for less or the same as you're paying now. That includes the parts you skimp on, like shave gel and exfoliating lotion, and they even send you a shower holder.
Flamingo's shave set features their award-winning products for only $16, and it ships free directly to your door.
So if I were you, I would try the Flamingo Shave Set. It's a $22 value for just $16 with free shipping today when you visit shopflamingo.com/motherload.
That's right. Visit shopflamingo.com/motherload.
So are we all screwed, Michael? I mean, everything I do now for work is on my phone. Everything. So sometimes when you're parenting, it's like, oh, my brain doesn't work as well as it used to because I'm, you know, I have a 3-year-old. And so it's like, oh, I need to do this right now. I'm going to forget. So I might be in the moment with my daughter and I will, you know, and almost without even thinking about it, just pick up my phone and do something. And she's like, mom. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit. So
right.
what can we do?
For,
yeah.
She's asking for your attention.
Right. I get
it. Pay attention to me.
Right. And so
you write a note down on a piece of paper. Instead of grabbing
your phone.
That's
a good idea.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, you know, we've slid into this much the way we slid into, you know, having the TV on all the time without really thinking about it. And what we're really trying to do is bring science to bear on building our own self-awareness and bringing that needle, which is pegged all the way to the screen, back to the center and say, how can we use these tools in ways that make me better? Physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually, really. And how can I both help my child learn to do this, but also model this behavior for my child?
Is there light, though, at the end of the tunnel? Like, where is that light? Because it just keeps getting more and more and more apps on your phone, more ways to use your phone. And
well, I think it's about becoming aware of ourselves and how we use this. You know, there are always going to be more apps, and they will be there if we buy them. But let's take a moment to think about what this app does. Do I really need that? And is it something just to add on, or is it something that replaces or improves on something I'm already doing? And is it the best tool for the job? You can use an iPad to drive a nail, but a hammer works better. So let's decide to use that iPad for what it does well, but also understand that anything we do on it may be able to be done as well or better by something else. And it's also displacing something else we might be doing.
Right. And would you agree, and this is something that I'm going off on a tirade about, that I think that schools.
You on a tirade.
I think that schools and places where our kids are being influenced outside of parents, I believe that the awareness of cell phones and how much damage they are doing is I think they should be banned from schools. I think that kids should not be allowed to bring cell phones to schools. What do they need a cell phone for? Now, look, yes, we're living in a time where I'm going to get real dark real quick, but this is the reason for people thinking they need cell phones in schools is because people are coming into schools and causing harm to our kids, and our kids want to have access to their parents in an emergency. And I understand that, and I get that, and I hope to never be in that situation where I wish my kid had a phone at school to call me in an emergency. Like, I just think kids are so influenced very easily, I should say. And if they see a kid, a sixth grader, a fifth grader, a fourth grader with a phone, it makes them want to have a phone because that person has a phone. So if we can't try and have all of us working together on this issue, makes it harder as a parent to say, well, yes, that fourth grader has a phone because their parents are out of town a lot. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. And what it comes down to is it's just like, that's just not what we do. We don't need that. That's not a part of the way our family is communicating. So you do not need a cell phone and you will not need one until probably the eighth grade.
Yes. And it's okay to be the parent who says no. As a pediatrician who specializes in adolescents, I will say that the vast majority of my kids who have trouble as adolescents are the ones whose parents kind of gave them everything and weren't able to say no, who wanted to be their BFF and not their parent. I think it's okay to say no to phones or to smartphones, because it's not just a phone to call 911 or call mom and dad if there's an emergency. It's a smartphone on which they are Snapchatting and going on social media and showing each other memes and on and on and on, none of which are advancing what they are in school to do. And the entire country of France agrees with you. They have banned phones from schools up through middle school.
Man, Europe is always ahead of us. Always.
Well, they're cooler
than
another,
us. That's another podcast.
They're cooler, you know. We just know that. But I think that we also owe it to our children not just to restrict them from this stuff, but to give them the ability to manage these tools well.
We need to learn how to set limits with our children. In general,
well, I mean, I think that we need to teach them to use these powerful tools the same way we teach them to drive a car, which is another powerful tool that can give you great freedom and possibilities, but also can cause great harm used wrong. And what do? We sit white knuckled in the front seat next to them, and we help them learn to drive and hopefully not kill themselves. And we really need to do the same thing with the internet, with social media, with smartphones, at a time when they are old enough to both need those tools and to handle them responsibly.
What if we just went back to, and we'll wrap up here because, you know, we know you need to do other things with the day, but okay, is there a possibility of just literally going back to a cell phone? No. Where you just have your parents' phone number?
Yes, yes. Actually, I
believe. You mean a flip phone?
Yeah.
Actually, flip phone sales are going up for this very reason.
There is.
Parents are getting rid of their kids' smartphones and giving them flip phones.
Yep.
Call me if you need me.
Yep.
Boom. Here's a quarter.
Right.
You don't need one because you can call me because you have a flip phone.
Anyone? And here's the other part of what's happening with kids with phones in their pockets. You know, because as tragic as they are, things like school shootings are actually exceedingly rare events, thank God. Right? So what's really happening with these cell phones is not only are these kids distracted from what they're at school to do, we're seeing more and more helicopter parenting. Parents who are, you know, calling their kid when they get their grade on their midterm back and then calling the teacher to argue that my child deserves an A. You know, they're not letting these kids live their lives. Mm. They're,
autonomy,
you know, shepherding them through everything and getting in the way, really, of their child's development in a whole host of ways that actually require the kid to figure it out for themselves.
I know.
Yeah, that's what we did. That's what we did.
And look at us. We're fantastic human beings.
Well, thank you so much,
Absolutely.
Michael. Thank you so much, Michael.
Absolutely. But I think this brings up something that's really important to pay attention to, and that is just because it's different than the way we did it doesn't mean it's wrong. We have to be able to evolve with the technology, but to do it in a mindful way and to do it in a way that makes us better, allows us to reach the better angels of our nature, not just do it because whiz bang, it's cool, it's the latest bright shiny object, but to look at it for what it can do, look at it for what it is displacing that we're not doing, and then make an informed decision about what we want from it. You know, I think we've gotten so into developing the killer app that we're not developing the killer bees, what I call the killer bees. And that is be balanced in terms of what you do, including screens. Be mindful in what you're doing, including screens. But above all, particularly with parenting, be present. And this is the one thing that these screens really take away from us, is being present with and for our children.
Agreed. And by the way, that is across the board for even adults with adults. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How many times have you seen young lovers walking hand in hand, each on their cell phones?
Everywhere you go.
Don't
you
get me started about young lovers.
Anytime I go anywhere and I have that moment of just like calm awareness, like especially a waiting room, an elevator, a bus, a subway, 90% of people are on some form of a smartphone.
Right. We don't look at each other anymore. We don't smile at each other anymore. We don't greet each other on the street anymore. That's go for it. The killer bees.
I like them.
Right. Thanks, those are Michael. The best. And where can people find you?
AskTheMediatrician.org.
Love it.
Let's do it. Mediatrician, folks. Michael Rich, thanks for coming on the program.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
I could have talked to that doctor all day long because he was saying everything that I am trying to say to everybody in my life, but nobody listens. They're all
people
like, constant,
listening.
Shut up. But it
well,
is.
You talk a lot.
Listen, my production company is called Be Mindful, and I have had that for over 15 years. Like, I am all about being mindful of what the fuck we are doing with our...
talk to Michael about copyright.
About copyright.
One of his bees.
Listen, I love being mindful, being present, and being... what was the first one?
Balanced.
Balance. Balancing it. Finding the pros and cons of media and how we can use it for good and how it is bad. And being aware of it. And also, I think that you should always know what your kid is doing, what they are watching, before you let them do it. Like, I've never let my daughter watch anything or look at any app or do anything until I have watched one whole episode or I have played like a round of the game. And I feel like that is the least we can do, is understand the messaging that is happening and being given to them unsupervised, right?
I just want to speak to some parents who maybe don't have as much time. Maybe the parents who are working full time.
I am working.
Are you working every day full time?
No, not every day full time.
From like 8 until 5 p.m.?
No. So I'm when just, you come
I'm not,
home?
I'm not trying to argue with you.
No, you are.
Am I?
You are.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to say like there that we have to speak to people who may not have as much free time. Single parents, people who have two jobs. And
but you're a single parent and you work. And do you have 5 minutes to look at a television show or look at an app that your kid wants to watch or wants to play? Do you have?
But I'm not a parent of an 8-year-old. I'm a parent of a 3-year-old. So I'm completely in control of every screen that she sees, unless she's with a babysitter,
right?
Or if she's at school, which I don't think they use them at her school. They use record players. They listen to records. You know, there's some people who don't believe in any of that. I think
I have a record player in my house. It's the first thing I got. We bought our daughter.
Does my daughter go to
was a record player
school at your house?
No, but she could.
I just think that for those of you who have gotten a little bit, I'm going to say lazy or just do stressed, like what we've learned today is you can
reset.
You can go back within a few days. You just need to like think about the connection and think about the time that you have with your child. It is finite. And that's what I think about often when I'm overwhelmed is I think like, you know, this time that I have with her is finite. I mean, she's going to leave soon. I will most likely be dead
the
year after because I'm so old.
No, but it is. It's quality over quantity, and it should be that
and the
way.
The quick fix, and that they are always seeking your connection and the how important that is, and they want to connect with you, and that you're not connecting with them when you're on your, when
yes.
either of you are on a screen.
No, and all kids want is your attention.
Who's a genius?
Me.
Missy is.
That's right.
But guess who else is a genius?
Policy genius.
Did you guys know Halloween's on the way, even though they're playing Christmas in the stores? But here's what you need to do. You got to break out the rubber spiders and the fake cobwebs and the jack-o'-lanterns. Why?
Well, if you have a family, you might be dealing with something even scarier right now, which is shopping for life insurance. Dun, dun, dun.
Look. I do not like the idea of looking for life insurance, but that's why PolicyGenius.com will do it for you.
It's so easy. You shop for life insurance online. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price.
And they do all the paperwork and the red tape.
Yeah, because it's really hard to actually get all that stuff to have time as your kids. One kid is pulling on your dress and you're... the whole thing falls down that you're just standing there in your bra.
But also, let alone thinking about, it's just you. Let alone just thinking about having to do life insurance sucks. So let them do the thinking for you, because this October, they're going to take the scariness out of buying life insurance with Policy Genius.
Dum, dum, dum. Go to PolicyGenius.com, get quotes, and apply in minutes. You can do the whole thing on your phone right now.
Policy Genius, it's the easy way to compare and buy life insurance.
And now, a very special edition of I Confess.
Very special because we have it in writing.
Yeah. Our friend Ashley wrote us in a letter, and we are going to read it.
Okay, so here we go. Hi, MLP. I just found your podcast, and I thought it would be a fun listen being a mother of two.
Yay!
Hope it has been. You mentioned how your friends change, and that's true, but making new ones isn't always easy. I don't know if you all would have the same problem being celebrities. Yes, we have problems making friends. It's even harder for us.
Speak for yourself. Just kidding.
But one of the things, this is still Ashley talking, I've struggled with recently is mom cliques. In my neighborhood specifically, there's a group of women who hang out together. They are always nice to me in passing, but never invite me to any of their girls' nights or play dates or anything like that. It normally wouldn't bother me. I know sometimes women are reluctant to take on more friends. However, their husbands also hang out in a dad group, and they always invite my husband.
Ugh.
It really sucks. I don't even know if there's advice to give, but I'm sure I'm not alone in this. Thanks for listening. Oh, first God. Of all, you are not alone. Let's just say that up front.
You're not alone. It's one of the only songs I have recorded on the internet.
I'm going to say it right now. Mom cliques are the worst.
Well, cliques in general are the worst. I mean, Mean Girls is a fucking completely global thing. But mean people, I mean, just people who don't include others.
Right. But what I'm going to say, I think the thing about this one that bothers me the most is that it's a neighborhood mom clique, mm-hmm. right? So there's a reason why like Big Little Lies is so popular, because it's so scary that it's so true that moms will decide who they want to hang out with, who they don't want to hang out with. And honestly, I will say sometimes it doesn't have to do with you individually as a person. I can say for me, a lot of it has to do with the kids. And if the kids aren't hanging out with my kids, it's a harder clique to be a part of, because you want to find friends that you can also have your kids with you, and the kids can go over here and the moms can go over here. So for me, I have found that my friendships have been solely based on who my kids are friends with. Some I try and force because I like the parents, but my kids don't hang out. And it's difficult because then it just becomes separate hangout time, right? It's so nice when it can be moms and kids and dads and everybody's together and the kids run off into the woods and you guys just stay by the campfire and drink.
Yeah, listen, I just feel like I need more information. I wish we could call you, Ashley, and just, first of all, I just want to give you a hug and be like, fuck those bitches. That's kind of how it always makes me feel. But I also know that we don't have a lot of the information. It's interesting that they want to hang out with your husband. Is it all the same dads? Like that? I'm confused. Is it like eight women and like they bring your husband as the ninth man who goes? Yeah, I don't know.
So I have a question though, too. Hmm. Maybe they don't know that you want to hang out with them.
That was something I thought about. But why are they inviting the husband? Wouldn't she get an invite?
No, because it's a dad group. Only the dads hang out and then the moms hang out. And they hang out, though, without her. So here's what I would say is this is a time when you have to kind of be aggressive. Be aggressive.
Yeah, maybe put yourself out there.
You have to put yourself out there. It could be something as simple as them thinking, you know, like I just said, that you don't want to hang out with them. And communication is key, especially with moms. We're all not talking to each other enough and discussing things that are difficult or things that we wish we could just go walk to a neighbor and talk about. So I'd say there's no harm in you actually going up to them or one of them or one of the ones you feel more comfortable with and just saying, hey, next time you guys have a get together, I would love to come along. It's easier for dad groups to get together because the kids are always left at home with the mom. So
WTF. I'm just saying.
There we go. Talking in tandem.
I just wanted to say, like, there's a couple things here. Number one, this one mom in my, I don't know how old your kids are, but like there's this one mom in my kid's school, and when we were all off for a week, and she just sent an email to everybody and was like,
we're going to go to the trampoline park. Does anybody else want to come? And that was amazing. And I kind of was like, why doesn't anybody else do that? And then I remember reading this one mom blogger, and she was like, I really wanted to be a part of a group, but I couldn't find one. So I actually just put a post on Craigslist and was like, hey, I live over here and I'm looking for some new moms. I'm like, if those bitches don't want you, go find another mom group. Start a mom group of your own. You know, they can't be the only women with kids in that maybe close to you, but like if your kids goes to school, maybe you could look there and either be aggressive. I liked that, be aggressive, or maybe you could reach out and just say, hey, I'm looking for some cool moms.
Yeah. But just to let you know, we all struggle with this because every year brings a different set of friends and a different set of hormones and a different set of wants and don't wants. And my daughter has changed her kids and we've changed parents of who we hang out with like every single year because they're just shifting their perspective on who they want to hang out with. And so are we. And it's never personal.
No.
There's just certain...
I don't know. It's funny because I actually did... I'd started a new school and I'm really, really shy. It's like I have this... You know, I've overcome it because I've been had to go in rooms and introduce myself to people, but I actually am a really pretty shy person. And I get terrified when I go to like mom events by myself. Like, you know, my daughter's school, like I didn't know many of the moms. I still don't really know. I know a few more because we had a party and a few of them came. And I also recently was invited by someone in my daughter's class to have a play date, and then she never invited me back. And so I definitely am kind of, and my daughter's so young, I haven't really, I'm just starting out. And my daughter's first school, I had made some mom friends and then she got kicked out. So listen, I'm still on the.
You're still on the radar.
On the hunt. So Ashley, if you live anywhere in the Los Angeles area, let's become mom friends.
Perfect.
Listen, if you want to make an anonymous confession and you want two experts to answer it, Constance and I, because we're experts,
we're not really doing experts all the time.
Please dial 213-259-3235, or you can send us an email like Ashley at themotherloadpodcast@gmail.com. That's 213-259-3235. But wait, there's more. themotherloadpodcast@gmail.com. Two ways to leave us a message.
And remember, you know your kid better than anyone else.
And don't overthink it. You're doing a great job.
So before we go, we want to say a quick thank you to our sponsors.
Here's a quick reminder to try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/motherload.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/MOTHERLOAD. ZipRecruiter.com/motherload. ZipRecruiter. It's the smartest way to hire. This show is executive produced by Constance Zimmer, Missy Pyle, and Sim Sarna. Associate producer is Daniela Silva.
Editor is Wayland Productions. Music is by Josh Cook and Alicia Eagle. This is a Cloud 10 production powered by Simplecast.